Now in Romans chapter 2, Paul continues to show us, and we've already talked about this some, but as we've gone verse by verse through the book of Romans, we've seen how the Bible says that God's going to judge everybody fairly, but Paul continues this theme in verses 11, 16, that everyone will be judged fairly. And if you remember right in chapter 1, we learned in chapter 1 that which is known about God has been made evident to men, the Bible says. In fact, God made it evident to them, so that they would know God's nature, they would know God's character or characteristics, and they would know God's power. In fact, the Bible says these things have been clearly seen and understood by what man sees in creation. And in this passage this morning, we see that God has even put His law in men's heart. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse 11, "For there is no partiality with God. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them on the day when," Paul says, "according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus." Wait a minute, Chris. "All who sinned without having heard the law will also perish not having heard the law?" Where's the fairness in that? How can a just God judge someone for breaking the law when they've never had the law to begin with? Well, that's the exact point Paul is making here. You see, back in Paul's time, there were Gentiles who lived in places far removed from Jews and far removed from God's law, just like today. Today, there are people groups who live in places where they've never heard the Word of God. But according to Scripture, every man and woman bears the image of God. And even though this image has been tainted by sin, it's still the image of God. And as we saw in chapter 1, part of that image is this inborn sense of right and wrong. Now remember what Paul said in Romans 1, verses 19 through 21. He said, and I believe this is in your notes, he said, "Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature, having been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." So Paul's answer to this objection concerning the fairness of God is that God's law, in verse 15, has been written on their hearts, which leads us to point number one in your notes. Every man and woman has the innate knowledge of God's law, therefore they are without excuse. In other words, every man or woman has this internal knowledge of God's law written on their hearts, so they are without excuse. So ignorance of the law is no excuse, Paul says. In fact, the Bible teaches each man will be judged according to his own knowledge of right and wrong, and either by the law or by his own conscience, verse 15, he will be found guilty. And like we talked about last week, at the final judgment, each person's deeds will be weighed and will have been found to have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, of God's glorious standard. And so every man will be deserving of death. Romans 6:23. Yet those who have trusted in Jesus Christ will have an advocate. They will have an advocate who will stand on their behalf, and because they have trusted in Christ alone for salvation, they will receive the free gift of eternal life. Look at Romans 3:23 and 24 in your notes. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We've all broken God's righteous law in one way or another. And therefore, all of us have fallen short of God's glorious standard. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But look at 24. Yet they are justified freely. Think about these words with me as we read these words. They are justified freely by His grace through the redemption, the buyback, so to speak, that came by Christ Jesus. And then Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin," we've all sinned, and the Bible says, "For the wages of sin," now you earn a wage, right? A wage is something that you've earned. You get it because you've earned it. And so the wages of sin is death. But here again, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now look back at verse 13 in Romans chapter 2. Paul says, "For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God." And this stuff that, by the way, this stuff that we're going over, if we're ever going to get to the point to where we really understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have to understand these things. And what I mean by that is we really need to understand where we're at individually. We really need to understand, I really need to understand my position before God. Before I can ever really appreciate the cross, before I can ever really embrace Jesus Christ, before I can really have that intimate walk with Christ that He wants me to have, and before I can embrace the gospel, I have to understand where I'm at. Truly where I'm at. Not where I would like to be or compared to other people, but before a righteous God, where am I at? What does my standing look like before a righteous God? And so Paul says in verse 13, "For it is not the hearers of the law who are justified before God, but the doers of the law will be justified." And so Paul makes it clear here that even hearing the law will do you no good unless you obey the law perfectly. Hearing the law will do you no good unless you obey it perfectly, at least from a salvation standpoint. And the problem is nobody can do that. Nobody except Jesus Christ has ever done that. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all broken God's laws. Author John Stott paraphrases Paul in this way. He says, "Don't think that knowing the law of God is any use." And again, it is of great use, but as far as becoming a Christian, becoming saved, don't think that knowing the law of God is any use. The only path of righteousness through the law is to obey it. And are you really going to claim that you always obey all of God's laws in all ways and at all times? If you do, the Bible says this in 1 John 1:10. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar and His word is not in us. And so when it comes to judgment day, the only thing knowing the law does for us is make us more accountable to God. It's kind of like being a college student. When you go to college and you sit in class, the more knowledge that they give you, the more you're accountable for that knowledge. Amen? When you go to college and you sit in a class, the more knowledge that you're given, the more you're held accountable to that knowledge because a test is coming. And they're going to find out whether you've really been paying attention, whether you really understand the knowledge that they're giving you or not. And now every now and then there's somebody who audits the class. And so for the person that audits the class, there's no accountability. For the person that audits the class, they just listen, hear, and get up and walk out. They never have to take a test. But God doesn't acknowledge people who audit His law. He acknowledges the doer of the law. And so when it comes to Judgment Day, the only thing knowing the law does for us is to make us more accountable to God. And Paul says it's the doers of the law who will be justified, which leads us to point number two. The real doers of the law are those who come to Christ Jesus by faith and repentance. The real doers of the law are those who come to Christ Jesus by faith and repentance. And after putting their faith in Christ and repenting of their sin, in other words, acknowledging that they can never obey God's law apart from Christ, the Holy Spirit then, who resides in them from the point of salvation, begins to bear fruit in keeping with repentance and in keeping with faith, Luke 3:8. And at that point, their obedience begins to give evidence that they truly belong to Jesus Christ. And that they have been justified by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who died on their behalf. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 7:17, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. You will know them, Jesus said, by their fruit. And He said in Matthew 12:33, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. And then Paul says in verses 14 and 15, for when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these who don't have the law are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. And so Paul says, even unbelievers have this instinct of right and wrong within them. In fact, they prove by their actions that God's law is written on their hearts, to the point that their own conscience either accuses them or defends them. C.S. Lewis puts it this way. He says, everyone has heard people saying things like this: how would you like it if someone did that to you? And he says, the man who says this is appealing to some standard of behavior which he expects the other person to know about. And so the fact that unbelievers do good things, knowing that it's the right thing to do, proves that God's law has been written on their hearts. For instance, we've all known unbelievers who practice honesty in the workplace. We've all known unbelievers who believe in being respectful of other people. We've all known unbelievers who believe in being faithful to their wives. But the bottom line is, we all have this built-in sense of right and wrong. However, our consciences have been marred by sin, for the believer as well as the unbeliever. And so we will still at times suppress the truth concerning God and His laws, so that we can live according to our own selfish purposes. And therefore we find our consciences, I can't hardly say that word, consciences, accusing us at times. And we should. That's what the Lord gives us that for, to help us stay on track. We find our consciences accusing us at times and defending us at other times. And so God is obviously just in judging those who know the law and don't keep it, amen. But God is also just in judging those who don't know the law externally, but do know the law internally. Write that in your notes under number three. That's what Paul's saying in this passage of Scripture. God is just in judging those who don't know the law externally, but do know the law internally. Now I'm going to share something with you that I read about an African tribe and how they figure out who's guilty of a crime. By the way, don't try this at home. 98% of you won't, but there's a few of you out there that scare me a little bit, so I thought I'd throw that in. It's been reported that a tribe in Africa has an unusual but effective way to test the guilt of an accused person. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of Shelley bringing somebody in her office and doing this right now. The group of suspects is lined up, and the tongue of each is touched with a hot knife. If saliva is on the tongue, the blade sizzles but causes little pain. But if the tongue is dry, the blade sticks and causes a vicious searing burn. The tribe knew that a sense of guilt tends to make a person's mouth dry. Either that or being scared out of your mind, one of the two. But anyway, we'll stick to the story. They knew that a sense of guilt tends to make a person's mouth dry, and a seared tongue was taken as proof of guilt. And the making of a dry mouth is, of course, the work of the conscience. Now look at verse 16. Paul's talking about the final judgment here, and he says, this will all take place on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. In other words, the truth of men's hearts will be found out. I don't know about you, but when I see people getting on TV and telling all these bad things that everybody else has done to them and all that kind of stuff, I'm like, man, don't go there. Don't do that to other people. Because one day you're going to stand before the Lord and all your secrets are going to come out. All the stuff you've ever thought, all the stuff you've ever said, all the stuff you've ever done, it's going to come out. And so that just kind of makes me shake when I think about that. Man will no longer be able to hide behind religious activity, by the way. We're going to be known for who we really are. Thankfully, no one who has accepted the righteousness of Jesus Christ will be condemned at that point. They will be judged, but they will not be condemned. Everyone will be judged, and everyone will be found guilty. But only those who reject God's free gift of righteousness through the sacrifice of His only Son, Jesus Christ, will be condemned. The Bible says in Romans 8, 1 and 2, therefore now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death, which leads us to point number 4. The person who genuinely seeks to know God and follow Him is promised that he will succeed. The person who genuinely seeks to know God and follow Him is promised that he will succeed. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Have you ever felt like everybody around you knows God, but you've never gotten there? Have you ever felt like you see all these people around you that have this intimate walk with Jesus Christ, but for some reason you've just not got there? You just don't have that kind of intimacy. Listen to what the Lord says. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. In fact, King David counseled his son Solomon to serve the Lord with a whole heart, he said. Serve the Lord with a whole heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts, and He understands every intent of a man's thoughts. And so it's obvious that there is, relatively speaking, human goodness that exists even among unbelievers. In fact, let's be honest, there are unbelievers that hold higher moral standards than most people. But that is not what satisfies a holy God. Only good done for His glory and through His power is truly righteous. Let me say that again, and everybody listen to this. Only good done for His glory, not so that people will see us and clap for us or parade for us, but only good done for His glory and through His power is truly righteous, because everything else in one way or another serves the flesh. Everything else in one way or another is tainted with self-interest. And so if Romans 2, 6 through 16 teaches us anything, it teaches us that apart from the righteousness offered to us by God through His Son Jesus Christ, there is no claim on eternal life. There is no claim on eternal life that will stand at the final judgment. And so this great passage shows us where we really stand before God. That truly we all fall short of God's glorious standard. We are all in desperate need of salvation. When you realize that, it really helps. It really helps to just love other people and just want to be a blessing. When you really realize that you're in desperate need of salvation, there's nothing you can do to get there. All your goodness is going to be laid on a scale one day against all of God's righteousness. And the scale is going to go to the floor with God's righteousness. And so it's life-changing when we realize this. And it's critical that we realize this, because I believe that there are people that see themselves as Christians, but they don't get it. They don't get where they're really at. And it's so easy to judge everybody else and talk about what they shouldn't be doing or what they should be doing until you reach this point. Now think about this with me. This is interesting. Think about this with me in closing. Without God's judgment, salvation has no meaning. Without God's judgment, salvation has no meaning, right? This cross has no meaning apart from the righteousness and the wrath of Almighty God. Apart from the righteousness and the wrath of Almighty God, that cross has no meaning for you and I. And this passage teaches this morning that we are all on level ground. Wouldn't it be cool if our political leaders understood this truth? What would happen? What would change? This passage teaches us that we are all on level ground at the foot of the cross. It teaches us that we're all in desperate need of salvation, whether we have the law or not. In fact, if you have the law, you're more accountable than if you don't have it. And it's only when you and I recognize our true standing before a holy and righteous God that we can truly embrace what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. That we can truly understand it and truly embrace it for our own lives. Because the bottom line is, we will all face judgment and we all deserve death. We just read it. All of our secrets will be laid bare. There will be no more hiding behind religious activity. We all will face judgment, and we all deserve death. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory over sin and over death through our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, is that huge or what? I hope you understand that. I hope I understand that. That really is a big part of who I am as a person. And that I really see myself from God's eyes. And then I don't have to worry about the splinter in your eye. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And I thank you for how every time I open your word, it lines me back up with your righteousness. And it shows me how quickly I get off track. My thinking, my actions, my words, how quickly I get off track. Because something doesn't go my way or something messes up my plans or whatever. So, Father, help us to be able to truly embrace this truth. Help us to be able to truly, you know, maybe we need to go back over our notes. Maybe we need to read back through Romans 1 and 2 over and over again. But help us to own this. Not just claim it. Not just hear it. But to really own this truth that brings salvation so that we can embrace your grace and your love and your forgiveness. Lord, help me to remember to make confession and repentance a part of my daily quiet time because it's so important. And Lord, help us just to know you in such a way that we can make a difference in Hyco or Carlton or Iredale or Ferry or wherever. We can make a difference in the state of Texas. We can make a difference in the United States. And we could make a difference ultimately in this world around us. Lord Jesus, help us to know you. Help us to love you. Help us to seek you with all of our hearts, all of our minds, and all of our souls. Pray these things in your precious name. Amen.